This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, September 6th, 2023, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Immediately rising, she ministered to them. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer, and with Father and Son, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We never, ever want to lose sight of what we are here for as a church, as an individuals. We are here to spread the good news, the gospel. That's what it means, the good news. That good news is salvation from sin, a cure for that illness that is sin, that terminal illness which we are all born, the ultimate consequence of which is death. But until we reach that ultimate consequence, we are to show people how they can overcome even that ultimate consequence, death. This is the gospel, the good news, and it is only found in one place, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our message, and unfortunately, it has become adulterated. The message is so simple, and we, in our human frailties, have made it so difficult. And when I say difficult, I don't mean difficult as in hard. I mean difficult as in keeping it simple. But the simplicity can never be, we never want to lose sight of it, because when you start confusing the gospel and you start complicating its simplicity, as if there are other ways of salvation outside of our Lord Jesus Christ, therein the problem lies. We see that in the gospel today, a historic event that speaks of tremendous, profound truths spiritually. This scene of Simon Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed. You do not want to approach this in any way thinking about, oh, she was a little under the weather. She didn't feel really good, and Jesus came in and made her feel better, and she got up. This is not the case at all. You look at it in the original language, the original Greek. St. Luke, he speaks of her lying with this great fever, downcast, prostrate, unable to get up. There's a doctor in the 16th century commented on this particular passage, Dr. William Ader, and he said, such fevers in those days were acute and high, and they were incurable in an elderly person. So St. Peter's mother-in-law is dying. This is where we want to be with this whole thing. She is dying, and there is nothing anyone can do for her. She is elderly. She's got this fever that is overwhelming, and there's no one to help. They bring our Lord. They tell him of her. They haven't seen that many miracles as of yet. And this fever that is overtaking her. St. Luke, actually, she is taken with, this is another thing we don't want to miss. She not just has a fever, she is taken with a great fever. This is where we get this idea of this acute, life-threatening fever that she has. You know, the Greek word comes from the word fire, the words that we use. Fever, you know, that comes from the Latin febris, from fervens, which means boiling hot. Can't emphasize enough how sick this woman is. And our Lord Jesus Christ comes in and he confronts this illness. This is where we start getting into typology. Typology, things that point forward to other things that are more profound. This idea of this acute, deadly fever that this woman has, from which she cannot rise, is a type of our sins. Name your poison. Sins are like a fever within us. Sin makes us delirious. You're like a fever. You ever been around somebody with a really high fever? They talk nonsense. You know, do hospital visits a lot. And you're trying to talk to a person, and they're just like in and out. They're delirious. You get a fever, it makes you delirious. Sin is actually worse, because when you're delirious in a hospital, it's usually because of medications and you don't feel well and you're in and out. That's one thing. Sin makes us delirious and we're completely conscious of what we're doing. Completely conscious. Something that we as Catholics, for instance, would know, if I do this, it's a mortal sin. If I do this, we're not talking about little mundane things, you know, these little spontaneous. I'm talking about the biggies. If you would die before you could go to confession, you would most probably go to hell, because you would die in mortal sin. A sin that you committed, that you knew it was grave matter, that you did it self-consciously with premeditation. Tell me that's not worse than being delirious from medication. My eternal soul could be, you know, I've lived my whole life as a good Catholic, or I try, and I'm going to commit the sin that I know could possibly send me to hell, just because I want it. Sin makes us delirious. We don't think straight when we're about to sin. We don't think straight when we are overwhelmed with temptation. It makes us delirious. This is the message that our Lord Jesus Christ is trying to get across to us here. It is uncontrollable for us. We've got this disease called sin. This is something we can't. What could Peter's mother-in-law do for herself? Nothing. We never want to lose sight of how little, if anything, ever, we could do for ourselves to cure ourselves. It doesn't happen. Okay, we get to, because we got this picture here of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. She can do nothing for herself because she's sick. St. Paul actually speaks of us being dead in our trespasses and sins. Now, if a really sick person can't do anything for themselves to fix themselves, how much less can a dead person do? Person's dead, you can stuff medicine down their throat all day. Guess what? It's not going to do a thing. And St. Paul doesn't use that terminology for an accident. We are dead in trespasses and sins. After our baptism, we are made alive again in Christ, and then we're not dead anymore, but we keep getting sick. We you know, there are relapses. We can't help it. Okay, we even have that in our physical, and out, you know, our physical beings. Don't we all usually get a cold once or twice a year? Once a year, maybe more than that, you get the achy, and it's a flu's coming up. You know you're going to be down for a couple days. It just happens pretty regularly. That's sin. It happens pretty regularly. It ain't ever going away. Like, you can make yourself feel better. You can take your NyQuil and all that other good stuff that we take. When we have a cold, we can mask the symptoms for a little while, get some rest, and it goes away. Until the next time, that's sin. We come, we receive the Eucharist, we read our scriptures, we say our prayers, and everything is spiritual, we're good. We go to confession, and all of a sudden, something happens, temptation. It's cyclical. But it's something we can fight against. And the way you fight against it, the way you're saved, is through the saving power of our Lord Jesus Christ and our belief in him. This is the simple gospel message. Jesus Christ and him alone. Jesus Christ is the only cure for the illness that is sin, that makes us delirious, to where we don't even think straight, where we are confronted with our horrendous weakness in the face of sin. All we have to do, and it is this simple, is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures teach us that. The book of Acts, Philippian jailer, what do we got to do? I mean, this guy's beaten Paul the apostle already. He sat around beating Paul the apostle, and now, you know, he thought he was going to get ready to commit suicide because Paul, he thought everybody's going to jailbreak. And Paul, you know, no, we're all here. It's cool. We're good. Everybody's good. And he's overwhelmed. He's like, what must I do to be saved? Paul, well, you need to go to catechism, and you need to go to this, and need to read this, you know, you read this theological stuff, and you know, go to the classes and everything. St. Paul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It is that simple. Now, is there anything wrong? No, and it is an absolute necessity to read catechisms, to go to the class. It's an absolute necessity, but when you get down to brass tacks, you can get to heaven without it. You can't get to heaven without Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. St. Paul says in the book of Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's an unfortunate thing. And I think in our day, this message has become adulterated. And by that, I mean, nobody says that's not true. They just say other things are true also. And that's a bold-faced lie. Other things are not true. You cannot be saved any other way. What they've done is they've negated the opposite of what Jesus said. Whenever somebody tells, thou shalt not kill, that means you should preserve life. Honor your father and mother means you do not dishonor them. There's always another side of the coin, right? When St. Paul looks at the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The other side of that coin, if you don't believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If you don't confess with your mouth and you don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, you won't. This is why our Lord Jesus said, you know, he covers, you know, those positive bases, believe and you'll be saved. He also presents it negatively. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. This is the gospel message. This is the truth. And it's become adulterated. We get this relativistic, oh yeah, these things are true for us. But the people that deny our Lord Jesus Christ, they're good too because they're just searching for God in their own way. A bold-faced lie that makes souls die. Because our Lord Jesus Christ is the only physician who cures this sickness of sin. Jesus comes to save us. Him and him alone. You know, all the everybody's hanging out with Simon Peter. They show him. They don't know what he's going to do. They're all different. Helpless and hopeless. And our Lord Jesus Christ confronts this illness and it goes away. St. Peter Chrysologus says, speaking about this particular passage, he said, infirmity did not stay where the author of salvation is present. There could be no approach of death where the life giver had entered. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the one commentator, Cornelius Lapide, he said, "There, you know, when we think about the salvation, and we think about our own sin and the sickness with which we all struggle, and like I said, it's not going away. Jesus saves you, but we're all going to approach this ultimate consequence that is death." Cornelius Lapide said, "There is no need to become monastic." Yeah, everybody's a sinner. All right. Now, some people are called to the monastic life, but most are not. And you don't have to do that to be cured of your sins. You don't have to become a monastic. You don't have to engage in rigorous corporal penances. They have their place and they have their time, but not always. Oh, I'm a sinner. I got to be harsh to myself and everything. Because you can be harsh to yourself till the day, till the cows come home. And guess what? If you don't accept our Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be saved. You can become a monastic, but if you're going to do your own thing, then all bets are off. Cornelius Lapide said, the thing that we do to invite this Savior, to invite this physician into our house is frequent Holy Communion. Frequent Holy Communion. That's what we always talk. People are, you know, talk about it. Oh, this, that, or the other thing, spiritual problems, negatives, you know, demons. Oh, what do I do? Deliverance prayers and throwing holy water and holy salt on, which is good on occasion. But the first and foremost thing you want to do is keep yourself in a state of grace. And you do that by the Eucharist and the confessional. You do those things, as those are like the multivitamins that we take every day. They strengthen us. Jesus Christ is the medicine. The Eucharist is the medicine. The confessional is the medicine. Prayer, the other sacramentals, rosaries, novenas, and things like that. They're just like multivitamins. They're good for you. They're good for you. But the big thing is to take your medicine, the Eucharist, the confessional. When you do that, you're inviting our Lord Jesus Christ into your house. That whole, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. We don't mean that one. We mean this one. We mean coming into his temple where he dwells, where it gets dirtied up because of our illness. This is what our Lord does. He heals. No one else. No one else. It's that simple of a message, and we cannot adulterate it. This is the reality. When our Lord comes into our house, the cure is there. We have to react like what I read when this started. Simon Peter's mother-in-law immediately rising, ministered to them. Immediately rising. I think everybody in here has been sick, right? You know, you get sick, it's all good. You actually start to feel better. But like for a couple of days after that, you're like, oh, you know, you're still tired. You know, I got to catch my rest, you know, because when you're asleep, when you're sick, it's not really like sleeping restfully. When have you ever had the flu? And I mean, feel like at your worst, like somebody beat you with a baseball bat. You know, you're sitting there laying there sweating in bed and everything, thinking you're going to die, wishing, sometimes wishing, hey, be a good time to take me right now. When you're thinking like that, you know, can you imagine? Boom, I feel better. Man, I'm so glad I feel better. I'm going to roll over and get some rest now. But what happens here? She feels better. And immediately, I don't want to miss the words of Scripture, immediately rises and ministers to them. Can you imagine feeling like I just described? You take some miracle medicine and all of that, you're like, yes! And you get up out of bed, you start, I need to go to work now. Something that never happens ever, but it happens here. And when we look at it for the way it happens here from a standpoint of historicity, we have to understand that spiritually that does happen. When you leave the confessional, when you suffer from the sickness of sin and go in and ask our Lord Jesus Christ to cure you, and he does, so when you hear those words, I absolve you from all of your sins, you are cured. You are as healthy spiritually as the day you were baptized. Then, again, there's always the caveat. I'm always pointing it out. It's unconditional. Never. There are always conditions. You ask our Lord Jesus Christ to come in and cure you, and he does over and over and over again. Then see to it that you do not live in idleness. Get up immediately. You are sick, at least, maybe dead in mortal sin when you go into the confessional and you come out and you're completely cured. You got to be like Simon Peter's mother-in-law and immediately get up and start serving him. Diligently. That's the caveat. You lay around, you do it. Guess what? When you do that, that's not taking the medicine. And you're going to get sick again. That's all there is to it. This is that simple message. Jesus Christ, him alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one, no matter how righteous they feel in their heart. Last time I read, the human heart is desperately wicked and deceitful among all things. Do not rely, do not follow your heart. I hear that quite frequently. I just feel in my heart that's, stop. Stop right there. Not a good thing. Don't want to be guided by that. This is the reality of things. Jesus Christ is the only one. You know, most of I'm preaching to the choir, literally and figuratively here, okay? But at the end, that's what you need to be preaching to other people. That's what the church needs to be presenting to people. That's how souls are saved. No other way but Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.